Amy, are you still doing prizes for kids who draw pictures? All right, if I were a kid, this would be a really ideal sermon to draw pictures about. When I was a kid, everybody drew airplanes and war scenes. I don't know what it was about the group of kids I grew up with, but we all learned to draw airplanes that drop bombs on people. And we'd draw hills and all these little people, and this plane would drop, blow all those. Did you do the same thing? Yeah, I don't know. What's the matter with kids today? They draw fuzzy little teddy bears. You know, we're busy drawing airplanes and cannons that would blow up and shoot the planes, and we'd have wars between each other. Well, this is a great sermon for you today for kids to draw pictures. You can pretty much draw your own battle scene and go show Miss Amy, and she'll say, "Oh, you really got this message. Good boy." All right, take your Bibles and turn to Ezekiel. This section, again, is dealing with Edom. I don't know how far I'm going to get, frankly. There's just way too much material. And the more I've studied this subject, the more I realize it's a missing part of biblical prophecy. You just don't find anybody talking about it. And I know the reason why. Number one, they've missed the starting point for these prophecies. They want to get rid of them by saying they're all fulfilled. So you come to a book like Obadiah. They dismiss the first prophet, Obadiah, who wrote about Edom. And half of the book is without question future. I believe the whole book is future. But then many of the other prophets quote Obadiah. And then there's all kinds of additional information. I can't begin to cover all of the information that God has given to us about this little place called Edom. Now, let me remind you where Edom is. If you go south of the Dead Sea and to the east of the Dead Sea, you're in the area that's called of Jordan. It's the area where Petra is. All right? Today, there are 6 million people a year that visit Petra. I stood in 2008 on the veranda of a hotel where we had just fed 101 Chinese people at a restaurant there, and we didn't even make a dent in the restaurant. I mean, we're talking about massive places for people to stay. There are so many dwelling places and small towns in this area that you can't even take the traditional King's Highway. You remember Genesis 14, three kings against four, and Chedorlaomer comes down. He comes down the King's Highway. You can't get there. It takes a whole day, extra day, to go from Amman to Petra if you go the King's Highway. I was really disappointed. I tried to talk our bus driver into it, and he, you know, at least take part of it so I could go on. And he said, "No, we can't. The bridge is out." I doubt it. But anyway, there's so many small villages in this area that there's a desert highway that goes out and goes all the way down and comes. It cuts about a lot of time off of your trip as you go straight south and then cut in from the desert. So it's a heavily populated area, and it's built up. This whole region has lots and lots of people. We stopped at the side of the road and took pictures of shepherds and goats because we needed a stretch. And, you know, it's fully populated. I could have put it on overhead for you or showing you pictures like I did with Tyre, but you get the idea. This is a fully built, fully inhabited region that now has millions of visitors every year. How many of you would like to go see Petra? Yeah, because I've shown you the pictures of it. It's really cool. When you go, don't take the Roman chariot. Those chariots will kill you. They're horrible. They have no springs. And they drive like Jehu. And it looks like you'll save all the terror and trauma of walking 3 miles through the Sikh to get to the main bank front of that, the Nabataean bank. But it's worth the walk, and if you get on the chariot, they have rubber tires and no springs and lots of rocks. And every person, when they finally stopped, they got out and they praised the Lord, and they got on their knees and they kissed the ground and they said, never again. And you'd see these elderly people going by and their faces were white and they were, you know, it makes my tractor look smooth. So, you know, it's a fully inhabited place. And I can't begin to talk to you about the role that this place plays in Scripture. Edom, Mount Seir, Teman, Bozrah, Dathan, Esau, those are all terms that you can study and search and find out about this group of people. They're distantly related to Israel. They're from Esau. But the role that they play in the future is that this is where Israel goes when the Antichrist attacks Israel. He moves his headquarters into Jerusalem, and when he sets up his abomination of desolation in the temple, Israel is told to flee to the wilderness. This is where they flee. Okay, and then there's a couple of things that go on with that. We may look at some passages, but I'm in Ezekiel 35 and 36, and I can't finish it, so we'll just get started on it. Number one, Edom failed to help God's plan for Israel. So they're going to be judged because instead of recognizing what God was doing in the world and with Israel, they rejected that. Verses 1 to 5. And the word of the Lord was to me, saying, Son of man, set your face against Mount Seir. And that's the primary mountain in this region of Edom. And prophesy over it. And say to it, thus says the Lord, behold, I am against you, Mount Seir, and I will stretch out my hand over you, and I will make you a desolation. All right, this word desolation, I didn't even count how many times it's in here. Probably a dozen times in this chapter you have this word desolate. I will make you an utter state of uninhabited ruins. Okay, desolate means uninhabited. You can't live there. And then he adds a dried up, a wasteland desert. So that's what he's going to do with this. Your cities I will lay in rubble, and you will be a desolation. There's that term again. And you will know that I am the Lord. Because there was... O Lamb is a means forever, eternal, but for everlasting enmity. I think my text says ancient. This hatred forever. And you poured out the sons of Israel to the hands of the sword in the time of their calamity, in the time of their disaster. Edom slaughtered, poured, let Israel be slaughtered. While historically that's true, that's also prophetically going to happen again. Notice the reference at the last part of verse 5. When will this take place? In the time of the iniquity being completed, being finished. All right, so right at the very last chapter of this world's history, before the millennium comes, when Israel's iniquity is about to be completed, that's when this country decides they're going to fight against Israel and cooperate with the Antichrist and try and gain the possession of the land of Israel. So Edom failed to help God's plan for Israel. They decided they were going to take their own, and that's because they hated Israel forever. All right, the second point in verses 6 through 15 is that Edom is going to be judged in like kind to how they treated others. This is often the case. As you did, so you will receive. You do this to others, and this is going to happen to you. Of course, the golden rule is reverse of that. If you would like someone to do positive to you, then you do positive to them. As you would have others to do to you, then you do that to them. But this is the negative corollary. You know, when you do this to other people, it's going to happen to you. There's three things in verses 6 through 15 that can be separated out and identified as what they did. The first is in verses 6 through 8. They had bloodshed for bloodshed. They slaughtered, therefore they are going to be slaughtered. Let's look at verses 6, 7, and 8. Therefore, as I live, states the Lord Yahweh, indeed, or because for blood, I will make you. In other words, because of this, he's going to make them for blood, and blood will pursue you, since you didn't hate blood, blood will pursue you. His point, although the Hebrew is difficult, is since you thought blood was a good idea, great. Here's a whole bunch more and it's going to be yours. Verse 7. I will make Mount Seir for an uninhabitable desolation. There's that word. And for an uninhabitable desolation. There's the word again. So that's four times we've had this word in just seven verses. And in this verse, verse 7, he says it twice. In Hebrew, that means it's going to happen. It's absolutely going to happen. It's going to be bad. Yes, it's going to be very, very bad. So he says, I will make Mount Seir an uninhabitable desolation. And I will cut off from it the transients, that is, those people who are traveling through it. And then I'm going to cut off those who are dwelling there. Both are going to be destroyed. The passing through is important because Edom is going to be the site of many, many, many soldiers in the Battle of Armageddon. Armageddon starts at this place. Armageddon is a war that goes about 200 miles in length, but it starts in Bozrah. It starts in Edom. This land is going to be completely saturated with soldiers. Verse 8. And I will fill his mountains, that is Edom mountains, with his slain in your hills and your valleys and all your wadis, that is dry riverbed. The slain by the sword will fall in it. So in verses 6 through 8, you thought bloodshed was great as long as it was the Israelis. Well, guess what? That's going to happen to you. The second point, in like kind, bloodshed for bloodshed, desolation for desolation. Verses 9 and 10. The ruins, the desolation, there's that word again. Forever I'll make you, forever, in perpetuity. It's not going to be rebuilt. Has it been rebuilt? Therefore this prophecy is yet to be fulfilled. Plus we're not at the time of the end of Israel's iniquity. But he says, I'm going to make you forever ruins. It's going to be forever desolations. And your city shall not be what? Inhabited. And you will know that I am the Lord. How many Jordanian believers are there? There are some. There's a Jordanian Bible school in Amman. Interestingly, one of the first things they have to teach their students is the superiority and the priority of Israel and God's plan. That shouldn't be hard for any of us to accept. I mean, when I was in Ghana, one of the great false doctrines going around is that the Ghanaians are the chosen race, that the prophecies concerning Israel reply to the Ghanaians. Guys are making boatloads of money. Now, in the last 3 years, it's managed to make its way into Burundi. And we North Americans believe, what's it called? British Israelism. That we are part of the chosen tribes of Israel. That's not true. Okay? We're a Gentile nation and we're not mentioned in prophecy. When it's talking about they shall know that I'm the Lord, it means that they're going to understand that Israel is the heart and soul of God's promises. Verse 10, because you have said two nations. When Ezekiel prophesied, how many nations were there? Just one. Remember, he's an exilic prophet. Babylon had not captured Israel in the sense of 586 destroyed, but pretty much so. But there's only one nation present when Ezekiel prophesied, and that's Judah. But here the text is very specific that Edom is going to say two nations, that is Judah and Israel, because they're going to be reunited in the end times, just like in our present day. You don't have two divisions within Israel. You have one nation. The two parts coming together. Two nations and two lands for me. Look, I get two nations and two lands. Edom doesn't just want Judah. They want Judah and Israel. Two lands will be for me. And we will inherit them. That is, we're going to gain them as a possession. And the Lord was there. What in the world are you thinking? God says, you really think you're going to come and possess Judah and Israel when I'm there? I don't think so. So they're going to get desolation or desolation. Let me just introduce you. May I just touch some of the other passages concerning Edom? We've already looked at two chapters in Ezekiel, and now we're in the third that deals with this. Let's go over to Jeremiah. Isaiah, Jeremiah. Jeremiah 49. This is kind of a cool passage. It deals with the specific invasion of the Antichrist. Jeremiah 49, 7 through 22. All the rest of the chapter deals with Edom. Against Edom, are you with me? Jeremiah 49, verse 7. Thus says the Lord of hosts, is wisdom no more in Taman? There's one of the terms that I told you. Has counsel perished from the prudent? Has their wisdom vanished? Flee, turn back, dwell in the depths, O inhabitants of Dedan. Dedan is another term that's used to describe Edom. For I will bring calamity of Esau upon him. There's a third term. The time that I will punish him. If grape gatherers, and here he's quoting Obadiah, if grape gatherers came to you, would they not leave some gleaning grapes? If thieves by night, would they not destroy until they've had enough? But I have made Esau bare. I have uncovered his secret places. He shall not be able to hide himself. His descendants are plundered, his brethren and his neighbors, and he is no more. Leave your fatherless children. I will preserve them alive and let your widows trust in me. For thus says the Lord, behold, those whose judgment was not to drink of the cup have assuredly drunk. And you, the one who will altogether go unpunished, you shall not go unpunished, but you shall surely drink of it. Again, hints of Obadiah, verse 13. For I have sworn by myself, says the Lord, that Bozrah shall become a desolation. Bozrah is the region where Petra is. It's like the county is to the city. A reproach, a waste, and a curse. And all its cities shall be perpetual wastes. I have heard a message from the Lord. An ambassador has been sent to the nations. Gather together, come against her, and rise up to battle. Do you know why this is the epicenter of Armageddon? Why is the Antichrist and all of his forces and allies marching against this part of the world? The answer is because Israel is there. Yeah. For indeed, I will make you small among the nations, despised among men. Your fierceness has deceived you, the pride of your heart, O you who dwell in the clefts of the rock, who hold the height of the hill. Though you make your nest as high as the eagle, I will bring you down from there, says the Lord. Edom shall be an astonishment. Everyone who goes by will be astonished and will hiss at all its plagues, as in the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah and their neighboring cities, says the Lord. No one shall abide there, nor the Son of Man shall dwell in it. Behold, he, that is, I think this is referring to the Antichrist, behold, he shall come up like a lion from the flooding of the Jordan against the habitation of the strong. But I will suddenly make him run away from her. And here you can insert Revelation 12, the last paragraph of Revelation 12, where Israel flees to the wilderness. He comes after Israel, and the earth helps the woman and protects her. This midway through the tribulation. And I will suddenly make him run away from her, and who is a chosen man that I may appoint over her? For who is like me? Who will arraign me? And who is that shepherd who will withstand me? Therefore hear the counsel of the word Lord that he has taken against Edom, and his purposes that he has proposed against the inhabitants of Taman. Surely the least of them shall draw them out. Surely he shall make their habitations desolate with them. The earth shall shake at the noise of their fall, at the cry of its noise heard at the Red Sea. Now this would be a reference to Christ. Behold, he shall come up and fly like an eagle and spread his wings over Bozrah. The heart of the mighty men of Edom in that day shall be like the heart of a woman in birth pangs. So you have an overview here. Turn to Isaiah 34. I won't go through this whole section. Isaiah 34, we'll just pick up verses 5 and 6. Isaiah 34, verses 5 and 6. This is against Edom. For my sword shall be bathed in heaven. Indeed, it shall come down on Edom. and on the people of my curse for judgment. The sword of the Lord is filled with blood. It is made overflowing with fatness, and with the blood of lambs and goats, with the fat of the kidneys of rams. For the Lord has a sacrifice in Bozrah, and a great slaughter in the land of Edom. I could go on. It's just that he's going to make it a habitation for demons. Let's look over at Isaiah 63. I love this passage of Isaiah 63. It's written from somebody in Jerusalem looking down over the wilderness of Edom. Isaiah 63. Who is this who comes from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? This one who is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. So here, people are looking out over the wilderness, and here comes up one, this Givorim, this soldier, coming up singly by himself out of the wilderness of Bozrah, out of the land of Teman. And he's drenched in blood. Okay? Who is this? And he says, I speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Why is your garment, why is your apparel red and your garments like one who treads in the wine presses? So as he comes to Jerusalem, the people say, why are you drenched? Who are you? Who are you, this mighty warrior, righteous, mighty to save? And he says, verse 3, I have trodden the wine press alone, that is the wine press of God's wrath. And from the peoples, no one was with me. I have trodden them in my anger. See, he descends. The descent of Christ is actually to Petra, to Bozrah. He goes there first. And in that time of his coming, all Israel believes. They have no hope. They're boxed up in Petra. The armies of the world surround them, ready to slaughter them. Christ returns, and they believe in him, and then he single-handedly goes out and slaughters his enemies. This is the end of the tribulation. This is the battle of Armageddon, how it ends. Here you can read the Zechariah passages where he slays them like a sword cutting, like a scythe cutting down the grass, and the dissolving. The other prophets talk about him cutting in half these people as he slaughters these armies. I have trodden the winepress alone, verse 3, and from the peoples no one was with me. I have trodden them in my anger and trampled them in my fury. Their blood is sprinkled upon my garments, and I have stained all my robes. For the day of vengeance is my heart, and the year of my redeemed has come. I looked, but there was no one to help, and I wondered that there was no one to uphold. Therefore my own arm brought salvation for me, and my own fury it sustained me. I have trodden down the peoples in my anger, made them drunk in my fury, and brought down their strength to the earth. So, according to Daniel 11, several nations escape the wrath of the Antichrist. Edom is listed, 1141. Edom is not conquered by Antichrist. He conquers everything except this region on the east side of the Jordan, south of the Dead Sea. He cannot conquer that. He's prevented. He comes into it, set to do it, but then has to flee back, probably because of the destruction of Rome and of Babylon, leaving him in Jerusalem only. But then the end times, when Israel is there, protected for 3.5 years, again, Antichrist, with all of the armies of the world, marshaled this final assault. Israel believes, Christ returns, he slaughters his enemy, and this nation, Edom, is judged with finality. I got to leave it. Let me go back to Ezekiel 35. The point here that I'm making is that because they had bloodshed for bloodshed, they're going to receive it. Because they had desolation, they're going to receive desolation. And the last one here is because they had hateful words, they're going to be judged. Look at verses 11 through 13. I'm in Ezekiel 35. Ezekiel 35 and verse 11. Therefore, as I live, states the Lord Yahweh, I will act according to your anger, your jealousy, which you have done from your hatred against them, and it will be known to them when I judge you. In other words, Edom was guilty of horrible words. They were jealous. They spewed out hatred in their words to Israel. Therefore, they're going to be judged. Verse 12. And you will know that I am the Lord, and I have heard all your contemptible, your words of disdain, which you have said against the mountains of Israel, saying, destruction, desolation, for us they're given for prey. So God hears these conversations. He hears these words. He hears our words. And when we spew out these kinds of things, that's why we want grace, not judgment, because every one of us, if what we say were judged by what we say, we'd be in a world of trouble. So this nation is going to be judged and ruined for desolation, because that's what they wanted to do for Israel. Verse 13. And you have made yourself great, that is your arrogant words of your own mouth, and you've multiplied your words against me, and I heard them. God hears what we say. Verses 14 and 15, he argues that all of Edom will be desolate. Not just the one region, but the whole thing is going to be desolate. Verse 14 and 15. Thus says the Lord Yahweh. Three times he said that. Very strong words. Just as all the earth is going to rejoice at the destruction, at the end of the destruction of the Armageddon, there's going to be a grand rejoicing at the destruction of Edom. So I will make you, just as you rejoiced at the inheritance of the sons of Israel, because that was a ruin, thus I will do to you. A ruin you will be, O Mount Seir, all of Eden, and all of it, not just part of it, all of it, and then they'll know that I am the Lord. So in this section, initially I was going to go on into the next section, which talks about God's going to protect Israel no matter what the nations of the world are. Because in chapter 36, you'll see that he goes back and he specifically names Edom again. But we'll save that for another time. So in this section, what we found is that Edom is going to be completely destroyed. I believe that the regions that we're talking about, by the time God is through judging them like he judges Sodom and Gomorrah, it will actually be the site of a desolate place. We didn't look at all the prophets on this, but the region is actually going to be an open pit, if you would, where you can gaze down into Sheol, the way Isaiah ends in chapter 66. It's a desolation. It's a habitation for all demonic beings, as Isaiah names these beings that are going to live there. The smoke is going to ascend throughout all the millennium. It's the scary place of the millennium. And you can go out and actually look at the bodies of the ones who are being judged. And the site is this region of Edom, to stand as a forever statement that don't fight against Christ. Don't set your battle lines against the Lord. You will absolutely lose. Father, we thank you for the words of